With one less driver on the F2 grid and an F1 Academy race winner taking the checkered flag twice in the same race? What? Round two of F2 and the opening round of F1 Academy once again has showed us that this is the series and seasons that you need to watch this year. Welcome back to Formula Talk. My name is Sophia, and joining me today, as always, we have the lovely Tom Downey. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. And yourself?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you.
Can catch up on some rest before we go back to Australia early times in a couple weeks' time.
My gosh, yeah.
Yep, use this weekend to sleep in for sure, I'll tell you that. But before we even preview Australia, we got to talk about this episode, which is actually reviewing the F2 round 2 race and then also the first round of F1 Academy that took place in Saudi Arabia last weekend. Discussing all that unfolded throughout the weekend with penalties, a driver moving up to F1 for the weekend, and we cannot forget we have another disqualification that's taken place. But before we get into this episode, we got to thank our sponsor, which is BetOnline. BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. Get the latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on all the action. Remember to use our promo code BELIEVE, that is BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. And make sure you're also following us on social media channels at Grid Talk UK to stay up to date with this show. You can find us on YouTube on our own separate YouTube channel, which is called Formula Talk, or you can also listen to our sister show, which is Grid Talk, which is where our social media handles come from. So, because there's so much to discuss about F2, we're going to start off about F1 because there's a lot to discuss on that one too. It almost looked to be a clean sweep, and to an extent it was, until an unfortunate penalty heading its way to Dorian Pin in the Mercedes back Prema Racing car, who originally comes from, and still does, come from endurance racing. She races for the Iron Dames and is still racing with them this season while also racing in F1 Academy. She took this top spot with the only driver to have a time in under 2.05 in free practice. She set it at 2.04.889. Looking at qualifying, if you watched or listened to the show of myself previewing it, we were unsure what the qualifying formats was going to be, if it was going to be similar to reverse grids for race 1 and race 2. However, we now know it is the fastest two times you set. So, very interesting take. I'm actually going to ask you, why do you think that they've done it that way instead of doing the reverse grid? Because normally the fastest two times, it's going to be the same positions for both of the races then. Because normally whoever's taking pole is on two fast times.
Well, I mean, it's the FIA, you know, they like to just make their mind up. They like to change things as we go on because big Benny C, who's in charge, he definitely doesn't change his mind about anything, does he? As we've seen in the news recently, you know, perhaps influencing decisions. Well, Middle East corruption? No, I never. But yeah, no, you know, joking aside, it was a little bit surprising to see that, you know, because like you said, you do sort of tend to see, you know, the same starting point. But no, F1 Academy, it was actually pretty exciting. The one thing I sort of did pick up on was the cars looked, especially, I mean, you know, comparing yourself when it's just, you know, not a good idea, but comparing the cars to F2, is it me or did they look like they were sort of almost quite slow compared to F2?
Well, they are F1 base. F4 True. Base.
I was going to say, yeah.
F1 cars, no. Oh, God, everyone would come at me for that. But they are F1. I believe they're like almost not even F4. It's like F4 regional, which is not even like, it's like one below F4. But I like them. I like how you don't know who the teams are because no one actually says the actual teams if it's Prema, Carling, Roding now, or ART. It's literally Red Bull Jr. backed, Ferrari backed, Mercedes backed, Tommy Hilfiger backed.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even the actual constructors' teams are mentioning now when you listen to the commentary, who is run by Nikki Shields, which she is the primary commentator for F1 Academy, and it's great to see that as well. I have to mention that with a few other guests that she had on. But yeah, no, the cars look cool. But yeah, based on, I mean, 2 minutes, what? We'll talk about F1. F1. God, today's just not my day.
We will not talk about F1. That's our sister show, Grid Talk.
Exactly. Go listen to that. And we look at, like, Formula 2, the fast, like, the slowest time was still under 2 minutes for that. Like, so it's actually, if I do my math right, it's literally, slowest time would be 1:43. And the fastest qualifying time was 2:03 and a bit of change. So that's a, what, 20 seconds?
Yeah, best part was 20 seconds, but I think...
So Max Verstappen's kind of race distance gap.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking, if we're sort of looking at this perhaps a bit more pragmatically, I'd say it's probably about a 30-second gap in pace between F1 Academy and F1. But also, you know, it's F1 Academy, you know, it's not F3, it's not F2, it is... You know, it's a chance for these drivers to get some backing from, like, you know, the big teams that we saw, and then the other, is it three sponsored seats or is it two? The Tommy Hilfiger and all that ones.
It's only one, so it's main sponsor.
It is.
But there's like four main sponsors: Tommy Hilfiger, Puma, Charlotte Tilbury, and
I can't remember the other.
I think that's actually it. And then F1 Academy has the sponsored one.
Yeah, and then obviously we have the F1 constructor bank cars as well. Yeah, so it's all very convoluted, but it is good to see. You know, I'm going to sort of like see this a little bit away from the weekend. I want to make a point about F1 Academy in general. So remember this time last year when you and I sat down and we talked about the first race of the season and we said, "Where the hell's the coverage?" Well, fair play to F1, and I think we said this after, I want to say after COSA last year, which is when it was the first time F1 Academy was in an F1 race weekend, and I think F1 or Formula One management, FIA, whoever decides this has realised, oh, hang on, if we're calling it F1 Academy, we should probably have it the same weekend as an F1 race. So, you know, it's good to see that it's getting the same coverage, and you know, it's getting the opening credits, and you know, the theme music, and it's got all the titles and all the graphics and all the rest
of it.
Because we didn't have that to start with last season. It was an absolute travesty, if you ask me. I know that sounds a bit dramatic, but you know, we're trying to promote, you know, females in motorsport. You know, this is exactly what F1 Academy does. But how were people supposed to see it if it wasn't on TV? And now that it is on TV, good. You know, but what I will say is we shouldn't be celebrating this. That sounds wrong. We shouldn't be celebrating that Formula One management is doing this, because they should have done it from the start.
Yeah, 100%.
That's my point, and I hope that makes sense, and I hope I haven't offended anybody by what I just said. But my point is it should have been on TV from day dot, and it wasn't. But what I'm saying is I'm glad that it is on TV, and I do honestly, I was gutted that I missed it because I was out doing fun adult troll things, putting petrol in the car and all that. But, at least it was something motorsport related, because I put in V-Power in, but yeah.
No, I 100% agree. I mean, obviously we didn't know how the first season was going to be. Obviously we were very critical on that, and then coming into this season, it started off very well. I mean, we'll discuss a bit more talking about qualifying, talking about the both of the races, because there's a lot to kind of uncover for that. But the last sponsored team is actually a Red Bull car as well, because all three MP Motorsport drivers are Red Bull backed in some kind of way, shape, or form, either by the Racing Bulls, which is the Visa Cash App one, the actual Red Bull team, and then Red Bull Racing Ford as a sponsorship, or Red Bull Ford, sorry, as the actual sponsorship. So that was the last sponsorship car that was off the top of my head, but I just assume it's an F1 backed, because it's all kind of synopsis to each other. But yeah, looking back to qualifying night, like, so it didn't really make a difference, because the first three had the fastest and second fastest time. So they set the grid for both of the races. And Pin, once again, similar to three practice, was the only driver to actually be under 2:04. She was 8/10 faster her first time compared to Abby Pulley in the Alpine Roding Motorsport car. And then her second fastest time was 7/10 off of Abby. So already asserting a lot of dominance. I mentioned that in my feature, that she's going to hit the ground running, because she is probably, even though she is a rookie in F1 Academy, she also has probably most, if not all, the highest accolades out of all the drivers currently on this grid. So crazy. And I mean, as mentioned, she almost clean sweeped it all in the first race of the F1 Academy season, which happened to be on International Women's Day, so a nice little bonus. It was the same three that started in the top three that finished in the top three. Dorian Penn took the win with VP2 and Maya won in the Ferrari Prema car, taking the last podium spot. Pulley was able to take a last minute point off of Penn for the fastest lap of that race. We had a few DNFs. Leah Block, on her debut, had to DNF due to bouncing over the curb and spinning out. And then Nerea Marti was clipped by Lola Lovenfance, sending the Tommy Hilfiger car around and ending her race. Now, watching back, because of the scheduling, the first race was on a Friday, midday, busy working time. I was in Sheffield working. So trying to watch it, but like watching Saturday's race as well, how steep those curbs were. Even in F2 as well, you could see how much air they were getting. And obviously in Saudi, like especially that one specific turn, they're clipping it and they're going to very close to hit the wall. There's not that much runoff space for these F2 and F1 Academy cars. Like, I think they need to be a little bit wider if that's even possible, because these cars are going to be changing. I understand the new specs of Formula 2. Obviously, the F1 Academy doesn't race it full time and like constructor targets. We don't know what's going to happen next season if it's going to be on their calendar. But like, those cars are not fitting very well. Like, we even saw three cars wide sometimes, so even almost to four cars wide on that main straight, and then coming into that sharp curb, which that corner with a sharp curb, like, I was holding my breath sometimes because these drivers have not been on this track before. So sim racing can do so much for your learning, but wild. But the second race, and as mentioned at the start of the episode, the race winner took the checkered flag twice. Yeah, bit interesting. So to uncover it, it was the same podium as race one. Pin in P1, pulling P2, and Wang in P3. There were some battles over the weekend. Chloe Chambers was battling Lovenfoss, which led the French driver to spin. And then when she tried to rejoin, she hit Leah Block, both pretty much retiring. Had a few safety cars deployed. Right after the safety car was brought back in, a green light went, and then another driver went for a spin, pretty much forced to take action. The wild card driver actually collided to the wall. That triggered another safety car for both of those drivers to not finish. A handful of penalties took place for pushing people off the track, overtaking, and gaining an advantage. But Pin did take the win. However, and it was going to be a grand slam because she also took the fastest lap and led every single lap of the race. But she, being in such race mode, went past the checkered flag and kept going. She kept on asking on the radio, how many laps left? She actually did two full racing laps after the checkered flag, asking her team what was happening, but they were already celebrating off the wall, so no one was really listening by the looks of it. And so they literally had to, like, by the time they got back onto the wall and she's asking what's going on, they can see the coverage that she's still full on racing, completing two racing laps while, like, the other two drivers are pulling in one, literally on the finish line waiting for her. Very dangerous, like people out of the cars, like that is an accident to happen. And so they actually had to red flag it to get her to stop racing. And it breaks me because she's literally trying to do her job. She's just in the mode. That's how the races are. Obviously there is more fault to her team not telling her like the race is over, but I mean, I was watching the flag being like waved. It didn't move. It was just like, the person, bless her, she was just holding it, and it's right behind a box as well. So unless you're purposely looking in that area, you don't know when the checkered flag is. And because it was, like, three safety cars on a 12-lap race, like, how will you know what the numbers were? It absolutely crazy. But because of that, she received a drive-through penalty, but as the race ended, it was converted to a 20-second time penalty, thus moving her from P1 to P9. Then Pulling was able to move up to P1, Wang in P2, and Nerea Marti in P3. Next race will be taking place the first week of May in Miami, another cool track for the drivers. And Chloe Chambers, it'll be her home race, and the wild card entry has not been announced, but we will be previewing it close to the time. But overall, I'm excited for this season. I said Penn's going to take the wins and take the lead. She's already started off. She's not leading the standings. That is Abby Pulling due to the 20-second penalty moving her to P9. But I'm expecting a lot for some of these drivers, especially some of these rookies. But I feel for that penalty. It, it breaks my heart more than anything else because she had such a good race and good battles and good... She had the perfect weekend from start to finish, but the finish just happened twice. Tom, what's your take?
Yeah, it must really, really... that one for her. And I really feel for her because, like I said, she was just doing a job. You know, I think there's a sort of like mix of blame isn't the right word, but, you know, sort of like responsibility in this. You know, she should have realized that, you know, after she's finished, you know, that, you know, there will be, you know, if she sees the checkered flag out, even if it's not waving, you know, if it's dangling out, you know, it's there for a reason. You know, if she was on the radio, sort of, you know, sort of radioing, saying, you know, is the race over? And if, like you said, none of her team were on the pit wall because they were celebrating, but, you know, she's going to think, well, I don't want to stop because I don't want to risk losing a race. You know, so I can see both sides of it, but, you know, ultimately it is a case of safety first. And Jeddah is obviously a very, very fast circuit. It's, you know, it's a street circuit, blah blah blah, and, you know, if it is painful, because if it's only a case of a red flag is, you know, being able to get it to stop, well, you know, that's harsh, but, you know, I do think the penalty is fair, because it's, you know, it is the sanction for that offense. And, you know, I'm not saying she did it intentionally. Obviously, she didn't. You know, well, you know, in the case that, you know, she was intentionally racing, but she wasn't doing it knowing it was, you know, the race had finished or anything. That's what I'm saying. So it's, you know, it sounds harsh, I know, but safety does come first.
If you think about it as well, technically, because we've seen it in Formula 2, we're going to mention it because it's come up again in this weekend. If a red flag is brought out after a race, normally that's ended in disqualification sometimes as well. So yeah, at least she got 20 seconds and she was able to still get some points, obviously finishing P9. She was able to secure, I think, a little bit of the points for it. So there is some damage limitation, but again, it hurts because she did nothing wrong besides doing that ish, running around twice. But again,
like
you think, like, yeah, Maris, Abby was in her back the whole time. So, like, to go from Abby in backside, like, in rear-view mirrors, and then not see it, like, I don't know. Something must have clicked. But, again, we don't know how it's like. We don't think.
Yeah, and, you know, on the flip side, you know, someone thought, oh, you know, maybe Abby spun, you know, maybe she got tagged, or, you know, maybe she had a mechanical retirement, whatever. And then, you know, if she's radioing her team saying, you know, who's behind me? And if they're all, you know, popping champagne corks in the pit lane or whatever, you know, and nobody's answering her, well, then, you know, she's, like I said, she's going to think, oh, well, you know, I don't want to lose this. So she's just going to, you know, put the pedal to the, you know, the pedal to the metal, as the kids say. And, you know, I think she's lucky it wasn't a disqualification, to be honest. But, you know, dropping down to P9, you know, it's...
damage limitations.
Yeah, exactly.
But what about this season so far, Like, what are you, obviously mentioned, obviously it's half of the time was during our work weeks and unable to watch it, but, like, what are you thinking now? It's been a couple of days. If you watched the news, read the news, or seen, like, some of the highlights, what are you expecting for, like, even next round from F1 Academy? Like, has it met your expectations or not so far?
I think it has, because, you know, I didn't want to set it like the highest expectations, not because I didn't believe in it, but because I didn't want, you know, I'd try and be the kind of person where I was like, I don't want to overhype something, because it will then, you know, if I'm then not satisfied, you know, it feels like I'll under-deliver. You know, it's the, you know, it's sort of also my philosophy, where, under-promise and over-deliver, that kind of thing. Speaking of which, I need to send an email to someone after this, just to remind myself. So, you know, it's really close. It's really competitive. I mean, yeah, obviously it helps that they are spec cars. You know, you get that in the junior formulas. But, you know, so some of the racing has been really entertaining. You know, I haven't been able to catch everything live, you know, because especially, you know, when stuff was on Thursday and a Friday, you know, I've been working, or, you know, especially on, you know, like, you know, the first round for Bahrain, I was out on a client site all day on that Thursday, so I couldn't see anything. Then I was out all day on the Friday. Yeah, so I would say it is tough, but you know, it's gone back to its sort of like normal programming, if you like, where it'll be on what you call it, it'll be on, you know, Fridays and Saturdays and Sundays. I'd say then. I could see you tear that one up there, mate. Cheers. Yeah. No, it's it's good. You know, it's definitely. It's found its feet, it's found its groove. You know, I talked earlier about the sort of, you know, obviously the coverage side of things. You know, now that that's all ironed out and everything, it just feels a bit more like, sort of like, yeah.
Yeah. Like, it fits in with Formula One. It should have had it in the first place. I enjoyed the racing part. I didn't enjoy qualifying or free pass, if I'm fully honest, especially qualifying, because the fact Julian Penn pretty much threw the hammer down straight away, 8 tenths off, 7 tenths off from her next rival. They as well do not have DRS as well. So if you think about it, like, that is major for a driver to have that much of a gap. You don't even see that in F2 half of the time, and they have more powerful cars and DRS. Like, the only time you see it again, like, she's already been like con like the Verstappen of F1 Academy because of how brilliant her dominance has been this season, this round so far. But like, the racing makes it more interesting because a lot of these drivers, obviously there's really good battles, and I'm excited to see how it happens in Miami as well, because again, it's a street, narrow circuits, really cool corners and bends, really strong straightaways. Without DRS, it will actually show who actually has the skills. But I was disappointed in qualifying and then free practice watching that back. So that's my hot take. But the actual racing, I did enjoy.
Yeah.
But I can't wait for that season, for the rest of the season. But moving on to Formula 2, because that's a big one we need to talk about. As mentioned, there was one less driver on the grid. Ollie Bearman, who was meant to take pole for the feature race of the F2 race weekend, was called up to Ferrari to replace Carlos Sainz for the race weekend due to an appendicitis, as he is one of the reserve drivers for the team and was there pretty much available. The other reserve drivers, I believe, were in Qatar at that time, or just coming off of Qatar because of World Endurance. Robert Schwartzman, there's another driver that does the endurance as well, that's Ferrari backup as well. I want to say it's Giovinazzi, but it's not anymore. That's many years ago, I think. And he did very well. If you want to hear about how that happened and Ollie's performance, you can listen to Grid Talk discuss about that. But because of rules and timings, it meant that he would not take part in either the sprint race and feature race, and the pole would have been given up to the runner-up, which was Kushmini. And after the previous week of a disqualification, it was nice. However, and I'm going to ask your opinion on this again, because Ollie, even though he took pole and had to give it up, you get awarded 2 points in F2 for a pole position. They gave the F2 the 2 points for pole. Wow, I'm really tripping over my own words today. Those 2 points, they stripped it from Ollie to Kushmini, which, especially in the championship where points can really make a difference, and Ollie is trying to win the championship, the fact that he can't race in the feature, which is a full point scoring race, he can't race in the sprint, and now he's lost those pole points, which he actually raced for or pushed for. I don't agree with that. I understand giving Kushmini obviously the pole because Ollie wouldn't be on the grid, but to take away those 2 points, I feel like if it was possible to give both of them the 2 points or give Ollie the damage limitation to keep those 2 points, because that could have also potentially cost him his championship not racing this weekend. So I think it was very unfair, but I don't know the full technical rules, but what's your take on it?
I think it's really unfair because Bearman had already done the work required to get pole position. It's not Bearman's fault that he got asked by the biggest name in F1, by the way, can you step into our car? And also, you were right, Giovinazzi is the other reserve driver. I just looked it up.
I think he still was.
He's
done more than Gio.
Well, yeah, you know, just to be honest, I wouldn't put Giovinazzi in that car. But no, it's, you know, I think he's really unfair because the points awarded for pole position, Ollie has secured pole position, he was awarded pole position, and he then withdrew from the remaining events for the weekend, you know, for whatever reason, you know, it happens that in this case it was a good reason, but my point is, it doesn't matter if it was, you know, like for what reason someone withdraws. You know, he was, you know, like I said, you know, he'd already set poll, but that's the end of it. You know, if someone then chooses to not, you know, take part in the, you know, other sessions for whatever reason, well, so be it. But, you know, you can't deny that he took pole position. So it's, you know, it's just a bit of a slap in the face for him, if you ask me.
Yeah, and like I said, the points matter. Like, especially because he did not get any points really last week in Bahrain. Last week, 2 weeks though. But like the last round, he didn't get any points. So like he already started off on the bad foot with how bad Prema was that weekend, to then do the work, get the pole, and then can't even get actual points because he's called up to Ferrari. Which, again, great reason. He scored F1 points, which is a very, I think he's the third highest driver on rookie debut to get points. K-Mag is first with second, and I think there's another driver that also got 6 points as well. So, on debut. But again, really good. So good. Love watching it. Love watching the battles. But it's so... I feel for him for his F2 career, but I guess just have to move on. There's so many other races that they have, and it's still competitive. We saw the downfall of C. Maloney, which was really, well, a bit of a downfall. He didn't do very well this round compared to the previous one. So, and it's changed the standings already. So anything can kind of change. But looking at the sprint race, now, as mentioned, it's qualification. Tom, let's see how the, do you speak about how the sprint race went?
Yeah. So, yeah, F1, it did not disappoint. You know, the sprint was, in a nutshell, it was quite the, it was nuts. That's probably the best way to put it. It was, you know, someone who was definitely sort of like in the championship, sort of in the championship pad last season, but not really.
Uwasa? He's not even racing this season.
What am I on about, Uwasa?
I was just saying, I've
just had a complete and utter brain...
That's how crazy it was.
I've been looking at too many things recently. I do apologize. Yeah. So yeah, let's try that one again, shall we? Yeah, of course it was for sure, because he was racing for Trident, wasn't he? That's right, because yeah, he caught Paul Aaron napping a little bit because Aaron started what, P2, or was he P, or did Paul Aaron start on pole? Reverse pole, obviously. Yeah, I couldn't remember. Oh no, of course he did. Yeah, I remember it now. Yeah, and then I remember because it was finishing. He was going into turn one, and Aaron was tucked up quite far to the right, and it was a really, really good move. But I mean, you know, Paul Aaron still ended up third. You know, some people might say, well, hang on, he started first, he finished third. He is still a rookie, and you know, Hauger, you know, pretty experienced in the grand scheme of things, because like we talked about before, we've got a lot of rookies on the grid this year. But you know, but yeah, Richard Vachon, great drive from him. Yeah, you know, he did really, really well. I do want to mention though, Victor Martins not having the best start to his campaign. You know, he was out at turn two. Also, Kimi Antonelli and I believe it was Jack Crawford. He came together. I'm fairly certain they both carried on, but it ruined their races because there was an early safety car. Because someone who's from your say Maloney. Because he started like 15th or 16th or something. He was right down there in the pack, but he was up to, I want to say like P6 or P7, or he was certainly, sort of back into the points. You know, after the safety car went in. Yeah, was it the sprint or the feature race where Correa was out in the lead? That was the feature race the following day.
That one's a really good one, and we'll discuss it.
We'll talk about that in a minute, yeah. But, yeah, Hadjar, he blew up towards the end, didn't he? Yeah, it's just...
Cordial as well.
Yeah, Cordial.
Correa as well, accident damage. Obviously, Ollie withdrew. But, I mean, the big thing was we had disqualification of Richard Vachon, who took the win. Yeah. And I did the stats. This is his third disqualification from win. As well, which is wild. It was last year. It was because he didn't have enough fuel in the car at the end. And then the first time, I believe it was, he stopped on track after the race and could not return to the pits, or it was like mandated. And that turned into a red flag and the safety car kind of had to be picked up and do it. But yeah, this time, what was it? They had an incorrect throttle pedal map installed on the race.
Yeah, so you know, so maybe it was, you know, maybe it was like too linear, or you know, maybe it wasn't linear enough. Maybe it was spooling up the turbos too. I know that they don't have turbos in these. It's a 3. I think it's a 3.5 V6 from Mechachrome they have. Oh no, they might be single turbo actually on the V6, and they don't have any hybrid. That's it. You know, so you know, say you know, when it talks about the throttle mapping, yeah, it could be anything. You know, in terms of throttle mapping, but. We were saying before it started, well, I said we were saying, you were saying, because you were telling me that it's what, his third or fourth disqualification, and it's just, you know, just...
From a win as well, just normal disqualification, from winning from a race. Win.
Yeah.
It's just this bad luck. K-Mag and Ocon of, like, penalties, more than anything else.
it was a bit nuts. You know, because it promoted. Who did it promote to the win? Was it Kushmini?
To the win? No, Dennis Hager.
Of course it was, yeah.
Dennis Hager, Paul Aaron took P2.
Yeah.
Enzo Fittipaldi, P3. Zane Maloney, P4.
But, yeah.
And Paul Aaron took fastest lap as well. So
I promise points. I did watch it. It's been a few days.
It's a lot.
Yeah, and it's been a very, very busy week of work. So, yeah. I
mean, the feature, though, as well.
The feature, man,
that was good. I was
so happy for Fittipaldi when he took the lead. You know, the Brazilians are, you know, sort of pretty passionate anyway. That's where Kushmini was P2, and then Hauger went from what, P5 to P3 on the final corner. It was at exit 2:27. They both had DRS. He made up two places, and it was absolutely incredible.
I'm just doing the math, like the numbers as well. It was like literally like milliseconds off. Yeah,
like 0.127 between third and fifth.
It was absolutely wild. But even just like on the timings as well, it literally was even between Dennis Hauger and Jack Crawford in P4 when they came across. It was almost photos finished and so much battles. I mean, bless Enzo. I cried because like he dedicated it to his uncle that passed away, obviously. Another racing legend as well. God. And he also took fastest lap as well, which was good points for his career as well. But, I mean, Kushmini started P1, finished on podium. Not too bad. But, I mean, the biggest one was Henry Cordiel was almost going to win and make podium.
I know.
He started P20 and finished P5.
He did an insane... he did an insane stint on the Super Softs. You know, it was someone who was leading when the safety car came out.
One round, Correa.
Correa, of course, but, yeah. I couldn't think of his name then.
The strategy. But the strategy, he should have pitted at the safety car because he actually finished almost pretty much to the end, P14, because it left him out too late. He lost
so much time, yeah. Sorry, the cat has just walked over. It was a valiant effort, but you know, safety car, especially on a shorter race distance like that, a safety car is a free pit stop. You know, why would you not put fresh rubber on? You know, I respected the effort from him, but you know, ultimately it was never quite going to happen. Yeah, I mean, I was genuinely really, really happy for Fittipaldi. His radio when he crossed the line, oh man, he was just. Yeah.
So nice. Hearing the Brazilian anthem as well, which was really cool to see. That, like, obviously, given his family, his reputation, like, he is also another contender for the championship as well. So, like, he is starting to put the foot down as well and start to do some of those battles. But originally, yeah, he started P4, finished the win. So, like, another good mover in the... It shows as well in Formula 2 that pole doesn't equate to win, especially in F2. So... But yeah, looking at the final standings, it was Enzo obviously taking P1, Kushmini P2, Dennis Hauger P3. We had Felix Martins again, was in the points, but then received time penalties, and then we have a few other ones from that. Looking at the standings, Zane Maloney still tops, 47 points. Enzo Fittipaldi moved from 19th in the standings to P2 in the standings with 32 points after that win. Dennis Haugaard comes into P3 with 31 points. Paul Aaron still in the top five with 29, and Kush Mining moving up into P5 with 27 points. Roding Motorsport is the top of 49, Invicta with 42, and then tied for third is MP and High Tech, and then Van Amersfoort in P5. But yeah, I mean, I'm excited. Next race will be in Australia, and F3 will also be back as well for it. That's a really cool one. I enjoyed it last year, even though you have to wake up at 3 and 4 in the morning here in the UK to watch.
I'm not watching.
I'm going to. I enjoy it. Like, especially the press conferences when you sit in with some of them, especially the UK based with some few them from Spain as well that cover it. See, we all have our cameras on, so having to put our cameras on at like 4 or 5 in the morning is very hilarious to see as well. Shout out to the rest of the journalists that sit in on them. But I'm going to watch it. It's going to be interesting because this season's already shaking up to be a really good one. So if you haven't started watching and you've just listened to our podcast for the first time and want to know what we're talking about, definitely watch Formula 2, Formula 3, and F1 Academy when we go racing. But yeah, so Formula Talk Season 2 is available on YouTube where episodes are posted. Just search Formula Talk on YouTube to keep up with our 2024 season. If you've been a listener to our show, you know that we are the sister show of Good Talk. You can find our back catalog and podcast episodes on their YouTube channel, but also you can find us on Amazon Fire, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Music, Verbal, Pocket Casts. Just search Good Talk to find our episodes and our sister show. Please consider supporting the channel on Patreon so we can get mics, lights, and better recording equipment. And again, make sure you subscribe and following us to know when each new episode is released. We'll be back soon to preview the Australian rounds for Formula 2 and Formula 3. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you, Tom, as always, for joining me. And thank you for listening to Formula Talk presented by Bet Online. Goodbye.